Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to today's Ops DSA call on the 6th of February, 2012. On the call today, we have Olivier Coppin-Leblanc, Tim Galvin, Michael Connor. For Mike and staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, Patrick Jones, and Christina Nordstrom. And apologies from Julie Hedlund and Jörg Schweiger.
That's Thanks, it. Christina. Thanks, all. The agenda's up there. I think maybe given the fact that Julie's not on the call and neither is Jörg, maybe we'll skip the confidential information one. That one's sort of perking along, but I don't feel any tremendous urgency to get that one resolved. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. It's Olivier. Has anyone actually told Julie that, that they need to be on the call for to explain this to us? Or because I've seen Julie on other calls, but not on this one, and it's a regular occurrence.
Oh, she fairly regularly drops in on this call as well. I think she's probably just double booked.
Oh, yeah, she emailed me this morning saying something came up.
Yeah. So we'll just wait on that one. Yeah,
okay,
I'm
no
not
worries.
Feeling any tremendous urgency on this one because I think we're such a long way from actually needing to do it. I'm pretty relaxed about it. So we'll just wait on that. What's in front of anything that people want to add to the agenda from, before I swing into the first one? Okay. What's on the screen in front of you, and right now you have control over, but I think I might take that away from you in a minute, is the version 1.1 draft of the slide deck for Costa Rica. I've made a few changes, so I'll sort of zip through and show you those and see what you think, and then we'll maybe get an update from Bart on sort of the overall San Jose schedule, and then spend, I think most of our, I think this call goes fairly quickly. I think we're in pretty good shape on all these fronts, but I just want to touch on the meeting planning things, and the, I think the scaling methodology stuff will sort of go by as we go through this deck. So, you know, I'm thinking that we're on a fairly short call today. So let me grab control. And I think the first change, this is just a placeholder. What I'll do is I'll move the NIST stuff, at least the rationale part, up here in front of this slide that starts talking about NIST-based stuff. And you can see I added a little title on there to sort of bring the NIST thread in. That was a suggestion from last week, and I think Jörg came up with it as well. The scaling slide didn't change at all, but then I built a new slide based on our conversation last time, which I think we, the co-chairs, need to think about some more. You know, I don't think we were necessarily totally agreed on this idea, but this was pretty much the idea that Scott had, where one way to solve that scaling problem is to change the sequence around so that you figure out the consequences and then only build the threat tree out to the high-impact consequences. That's the one I kind of want to come back to in that agenda item. But that's my first crack at describing that. So I built that little slide. And nothing changes for a while. Those are the old NIST slides. I haven't done anything to them. That artifact on this page where it blanks it out is only an artifact of Adobe Connect, interestingly enough. I don't know what's going on with that. I stuck in the architect. The last few slides are the, okay, what have you people been doing slides. And I think that I will stick in whatever the current version of this architecture slide is I've got this one on the agenda for the Thursday call to see if we can sort of get this right. And then if we are confident enough of it, we'll stick it in here. And so this is just a placeholder, really. Then I put the two tables that we're working on, the non-adversarial threat events and the non-adversarial threat sources. And I've got notes on my version to stick those scales in, tie those back to the questions up above, so that when we're talking to these slides, we'll be able to say to the audience, here's what we're trying to evaluate about these, so that we don't get our skis crossed while we're up there presenting. And then the last slide that I've got is based on Jurg's idea that he posted to the list, saying, wouldn't it be a good idea to sort of show how we do this? I thought that was a good idea. So I took a screenshot of the Thursday meeting room and put some labels on it and made it so small that there's no way that you'll have to worry about reading the actual text. I kind of consciously did that. But I thought that, you know, it would be good to give people a sense of sort of how we're going about this. And I gave Cheryl a design credit on that, because she's the one that came up with sort of this final configuration. And that's it. That's our new deck. So what do you think? And I'll give it back to you now so you can scroll around on your own. Take a look at pages that bothered you as you went by. You should have control now. Any thoughts, comments, going in the right direction? Things we still need to add? I had a correspondence with Patrick during the week, and he said, could I, Patrick, push this along to Alejandro? And
which I haven't yet done.
Yeah. Well, and I. Oh, you're on.
Yeah, I'm on.
Welcome to the game. Sorry to talk about you in the third person, Patrick. Anyway, I think this is a better draft to push Alejandro's way. And actually, if you give me another 10 minutes after the call, Patrick, I can probably drive a few more changes that will be helpful.
Okay.
Those ones, especially on the, I'm going to take control back for just a second. The ones on these two pages where I put the scales and the questions on, I think those will be something that is substantive for Alejandro and his group. So let me do that, and then I'll push a draft, like quarter after the hour at the latest. Any other thoughts? I'll now ungrab control. I'm fairly comfortable with this draft. I think we've got maybe a few too many slides. I may thin out some of the NIST stuff just a bit, because I think people probably want to be reassured that this NIST thing is real, but I'm not sure they really want a tutorial on how it works. So, that's my thought. We have 21 slides now. I think I could get it down. I'm seeing in the chat with Olivier that, I could certainly take a couple three out, which would get us under 20. You know, 20 is a lot to get through. I always sort of mentally budget about a minute a slide at a minimum. And, you know, if there's any questions at all along the way, you can easily spend 2 minutes a slide, so that's half an hour of conversation if we're not careful. So I will try to do that. Good. Sounds like people are okay with it. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Mikey. It's Olivia for the transcript. Apologies if this is a question that was already raised in the past, but I've been out of the circle for the past week, and it might have already been answered. This is the deck that we're all going to use in our own communities to update our communities with the work that's been done. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
This is sort of our all-around utility Costa Rica deck, because we'll use it to in the meeting with the SSRT, and also we'll probably scream through it right at the top of our DSSA meeting on Thursday as well, just to sort of give people a very fast update, although I'm sort of counting on people having heard this before by that time. Olivia, go ahead.
No, that's all. Thank you. I didn't put my hand down. Sorry.
Oh, I had a little visual hallucination there. It flickered, so I thought it was a new one. Sorry.
Right. So, Mikey, this is Jim Galvin.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
So, just to repeat, we're using this both for our individual reports to our constituencies, anybody we happen to meet jointly with, and also for our Thursday morning public meeting.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And in the Thursday meeting, I'm planning let me segue into the meeting plan in a second, but, you know, based on our last round of conversations, what we were thinking we would do on Thursday is basically just do our regular work and let people observe and participate if they want. So I'm not planning to spend a whole lot of time in our meeting going through this, but scream through it just to give people sort of a light touch on this, but spend the bulk of the meeting actually working on a topic, and I've got a topic idea in mind that we'll talk about in a second. Anything else on this deck? Cool. I'll float it back out to our list this week after I've made these changes, because there are some relatively minor but still substantive changes that I want to make, and then I'll push that out right after the call so that, Patrick, you can send it along to Alejandro and the rest of us can take a sort of a final look, and then we'll sort of ship it next month. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing that and start sharing my screen, because I've got a little mind map going on the Costa Rica stuff I want to show you. See what you think. Ooh, that's a little small. See if I can remember. Whoa, help me. See if I can remember how to make this bigger. That didn't do anything. How about that? Whoa, there we go. That's better. Okay. So I was thinking about the meeting. So the first part is the deck that we just went through. And those are the little things that I was trying to get in, and I think I've hit all those bases. I'll check that before I do the final. Then we talked about how to do the face-to-face meeting. And there's a little list of stuff that we were sort of setting out as the rules of the road for that meeting. Try to avoid re-updating people, because presumably they will have already seen an update somewhere else. Just do a brief run through the deck, and then focus on doing our regular work in a face-to-face setting, so that partly people could see how we work, and partly people who are dialed in remotely would have a good experience, because presumably their experience would be essentially the same as it is on all of the Thursday calls. And so they wouldn't get the benefit of face-to-face, but they would still be able to be active participants in the meeting. And the nice thing is that the Costa Rica time zone is exactly the same as mine. Oh, that doesn't help anybody else. Never mind. Forget that comment. I don't know what I was thinking. But the meeting time would be about 4 hours later. No, 3 hours later than our regularly scheduled one, which would make it fine for people in the U.S. to be midday in the U.S. and not too bad in Europe. And maybe a little better in Asia, because instead of being midnight or 1 in the morning, it would be 4 or 5 in the morning. So it might be a better meeting time for folks in Asia. I think we pretty much agreed that one group was the way we wanted to go. None of this subgroup stuff. It sort of fits into the regular work. And then the topic that we originally came up with was the transition to the adversarial threat table as opposed to the non-adversarial threats. But given that we're really effectively only about 2 weeks away from the meeting, maybe three, I was thinking that it might be better to use that meeting to do the pivot towards this new approach to the methodology. Spend some time sort of working people through the thing and discussing how we would do it and exploring the scales and trying to do a few of these and see if we could come up with a very tentative, very preliminary cut at some of the high consequence scenarios that we're trying to avoid. So that was sort of the first question I had for you all, is which of these two would you all prefer to do? Either is fine with me. This was just the bright idea of the day. So any thoughts one way or the other? I think you guys are as ambivalent as I am. So maybe what I'll do is sort of see where we're at in the work, and we can make a choice. And this is something we can choose essentially the day of the meeting if we had to, but you know, certainly easily any time before. So it's not like there's a big, huge pressure to make this choice now. And one of the advantages of the face-to-face environment is that it's probably better for complicated stuff because we get the benefit of seeing each other. And the pivot to the new approach to the methodology might be, you know, that might be a good meeting to do that. So that's kind of my thinking at the moment. And we can puzzle about that as we go along. The other part of this that I wanted to just highlight, mostly for Christina and Bart, is to check with the technical folks to make sure that, you know, Mikey actually running the Adobe room, just like I do on these calls, isn't going to tie them in knots. You know, it would be the normal bridge and the normal Adobe room for the people joining the call remotely. And I kind of remember from the last time I was there in the room that Christina was sort of the string and the tin cans that sort of held the audio together. And so I was just thinking we might want to give the technical folks a heads up that we basically just want to run the meeting exactly the same way we do every week and make sure that that's not going to present any issues.
Yeah, I'll talk to them.
That'd be great. I think it's easy for them.
It's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, I think the problem we had in wherever it was, San Francisco, I guess, was that somebody hadn't gotten the heads up that they needed to get, and so there was sort of a scramble right at the beginning.
Yeah. So. I think it was a misunderstanding about the dialogues and that stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, that's really all I've got about the meeting stuff in Costa Rica. Anything else on this that comes to mind as we wandered through it? Bart, have you got a feel that the kind of coordinated schedule is coming together for the?
Well, it's pretty simple. I think for the Thursday morning, we have it sorted. We're waiting for confirmation of the rooms. I think that's the most important. And I will contact Glenn, Heidi, and Julie, and Mark regarding Mark Costas regarding the timings of the DSSA working group meetings or the updates when they are scheduled.
Perfect. Sounds like we're on that one. Good deal. Okay, I think that's it for Costa Rica. Maybe I'll just go back to the PowerPoint deck for the last little bit. The last bit I kind of want to talk about is I kind of want to go back to that conversation we had about, see if I can make this big enough that you can see it. That's not terrible. You know, we tripped. This is the methodology scaling puzzler, and we talked a bit about this on the last call. Olivier, I guess you weren't on the call, so let me just lead into this with a little bit of a conversation, so that you kind of know the problem we're trying to work our way through here. Basically, the way the NIST methodology is built. You sort of go through in layers, and first you do threat events, and then you do threat sources, and then you do vulnerabilities, and then you do consequences, and so that, you know, there are these layers that sort of work their way off to the right. And the problem is that it doesn't scale. After a while, you wind up with this gigantic number of permutations that you have to evaluate. And the issue that I was raising on last week's call was trying to figure out a way to get through this at a rate of speed that means that I'm not dead and you guys, you know, aren't all senior citizens like me before we're done. And so we had a conversation that Scott made a huge contribution to, in which he said that what they did on his project was they started with, oh, I guess I'll go this way. Yikes, sorry about that. They started with the consequences and tried to figure out, you know, which the biggest consequences were. Let me make this big enough so that you can read it, because you don't need to see all that stuff. You know, where is the harm? Where's the impact? Let's find the places with the severe impacts. And then let's build the threat tree to make sure that we deal with the things that could lead to those, rather than build the threat tree of all possible threats and all possible threat events and all possible vulnerabilities. Basically, stand on the right side of that tree and look backwards down the tree rather than right now what we're doing is we're standing on the left of the tree and looking at all the possible combinations. And by doing that, hopefully we would effectively lop off a bunch of branches of the tree. It's not that we would make them disappear. We would certainly document them so that all those permutations and combinations are still described somewhere, but we wouldn't evaluate them all the way we are now. Right now we're evaluating every permutation. I think our pace is going to speed up a bit. We're getting pretty good at the voting. I think that we can probably, instead of getting through 6 a week, we may be able to get up to 10 to 15 a week. But even so, it's going to be a really long time if we go through every single one. So when Scott sort of mentioned that, I leaped all over it. I thought that was a really great idea, and I went off and sort of drew this little diagram. And over on the left side, I sort of summarized what I just said to you on the phone to give us all sort of notes that we can talk from when we're updating people. And also sort of justify the decision that we're making. So I really just, we didn't, I listened to the transcript of the call, and I don't think we in any way came to consensus about this. We said, interesting idea. Let's think about this. Let's think about the ramifications of it. And so I want to circle back to this and see what your thoughts are for those of you who've had a week to think about it, over the week, and for you, Olivier, sort of you're stuck in initial reaction mode. But again, this isn't a decision we have to make real soon. We can wait certainly until the Costa Rica meeting, and we can even wait until after that, because what we could do in Costa Rica is just continue on the path that we're already on and probably not do any work that's going to get thrown away. So there's my little preamble. Any thoughts? Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. It's Olivier for the transcript. Very interesting thoughts. It definitely looks a lot more efficient than having to go through every single branch of the tree. The question that I have, though, is how does this relate since we have determined the level of impact, how does this relate to also determining the level of countermeasures that would be initiated? Because you could have a high impact that could be mitigated in a pretty standard way.
Right.
And that would therefore make that impact a lot lower
right.
than what it actually is initially. And so you risk... Well, I don't know. Am I going on the wrong path here?
No, that's precisely right. And what would happen, I think, in this scenario is that we would find the high-impact ones first. So that would eliminate a whole bunch of low-impact stuff that we wouldn't worry about at all. Then we'd go back to the beginning of the cycle again. And... let me make this big again so you can read it. We basically go back to the beginning. This one, the highlight stuff. I wonder if I can... Oh, I know what I can... I think I can put an arrow, a cursor on the... never mind. Anyway, the question that you're raising comes up in the vulnerabilities predisposing conditions and especially in the one let me get these this high likely the likelihood that the threat event will actually cause the trouble. This is where you can come in and say, well, yeah, but standard mitigation against DDoS attacks should be sufficient. So it's not that we skip that conversation. It's that we skip the ones that are irrelevant because they don't result in a big impact. And so, you know, this is, I think, where Jurg is coming from when he says, Mikey, why on earth are we looking at the provisioning systems? If the provisioning systems go away, that's not going to have a huge impact. I mean, people can't add and subtract stuff from the zone or the route, but at the end of the day, that's not that big a deal. Let's concentrate on the ones that really matter and then analyze those. And then really the last question is the one that sort of takes all of the analysis and adds it together and says, are there any of these where there aren't good mitigations, there are capable threat sources, there are threat events that could cause this, there are vulnerabilities, there are, you know, and all the rest of them we just throw away. And so the culture of the, I'm going to go back to the previous slide if I can do that gracefully. The culture of this process I think is still correct, which is this is about pruning the tree as aggressively as we can in such a way that we don't spend our time working on things that don't cause trouble, but we do spend our time on things that could lead to risk. How's that for a soliloquy? Does that work for you, Olivia?
Yes, Mike. Mikey, it's Olivia here. That's fine. I'm convinced. I'm converted.
Okay. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Jim Galvin. So I just wanted to say that I'm not convinced, and I want to be careful about, you know, a decision to eliminate discussion of the provisioning systems. I mean, I guess there's a question we have to ask ourselves first in terms of which end of the system do we care about. Do you care about the day-to-day operation, or do you care about the maintenance of the data that's in the day-to-day operation? Because I think I would argue that the provisioning system is equally important to the ability to resolve names. It's not just about adding names, but it's also about removing names, and sometimes that's really important for any number of reasons.
Yeah, and I think that I maybe did a bad job on that example. I don't in any way want to presume the outcome of these discussions, and so the I may have picked a bad example there, but I think that the focus of the conversation is on impact and harm first, and then figure out the stuff underneath it, rather than evaluating the tree all the way out to a bunch of branches that don't result in harm. That's really all I was trying to get at. So during the conversation that I'm proposing we would have first, I think your points are, you know, super credible, since you're the guy that's on the firing line on a lot of this stuff. So I wouldn't want to presume that outcome at all. But I'd like to have the conversation about impact first, so that then if we can find some things that don't have much of an impact, we don't have to build the threat tree all the way out to them. Is that sufficient clarification to ease your concern, Jim?
Yes. Thank you for that.
I certainly don't want to presume that that would be the outcome. Any other thoughts about this? I think this still sits in percolate mode for a while, but it percolated for me, and I got to think about it pretty hard as I built this slide. And I'm still pretty comfortable with the idea, and I think we'll just leave it on the agenda and touch bases one more time with, you know, with Mark and Jürger back on next week. It'd be nice to touch bases on that too with them, and then if that's where we're comfortable, we make the choice about whether we want to do this pivot in Costa Rica or if we want to do it at another time. But that's kind of where I'm at. Okay, I think that's it for me. Now that I've got this deck on the screen, let me just show you. Oh, I'm not even going to bother you with it. I'll just pump out a new version of the deck. So I think that's it. Any other topics that people want to talk about before we break off? Otherwise, we'll drop off a little early today. Okay, I think we're all done. Christina, thanks a million for helping us. And we'll call it a day, stop the recording, and we'll carry on. And I'll build a new version of the deck and push it off to the list real quick. And
thanks, Mikey.
We'll be set.
Thanks, Mikey. Bye-bye.
See you on Thursday.
Thank you. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Mikey. Bye-bye.
Bye.